Previously on the problems with Canada. Canada's foundation wasn't built on fairness. It was built on control. Last time we exposed how the British North America Act cemented Ottawa's dominance. But that was only half the story. Because if the BNA Act controlled the provinces, the Indian Act ensured Indigenous nations would never have sovereignty either. Confederation was never about equality. It wasn't about provinces coming together to build a stronger Canada. It was about control. And the British North America Act of 1867 made sure that control stayed in the hands of a select few. We're told Canada is a federation, that power is shared between the federal government and the provinces. But that's an illusion. The BNA Act was written to ensure Ottawa had the final say over taxation, trade, and lawmaking. The provinces? They were junior partners in a rigged system. The language of the BNA Act made it clear. Provinces could manage local issues, but anything that really mattered, finance, defense, national policy, belonged to Ottawa. And if a province ever stepped out of line, the federal government had the legal power to shut it down. Even today, we see the legacy of the BNA Act in how Canada is governed. Federal policies dictate everything from environmental regulations to taxation, often against the will of the provinces. And when the provinces fight back, the courts, created under the same centralized framework, side with Ottawa nearly every time. The BNA Act wasn't a contract between equal partners. It was a takeover. And the consequences of that takeover still define Canada today. If the British North America Act was about controlling the provinces, the Indian Act was about controlling Indigenous nations. It wasn't about recognition. It wasn't about partnership. It was about permanent dependence written into law. The Indian Act was passed in 1876, just 9 years after Confederation. It created a system where the federal government had full control over Indigenous people, defining their status, their land, and even their right to self-govern. The Act imposed a rigid colonial structure on Indigenous communities. It restricted movement, outlawed traditional governance, and even dictated who could legally call themselves Indian. The goal? To eliminate Indigenous sovereignty and ensure total control by the state. For over a century, the Indian Act has been used as a tool of oppression. It controlled education through the residential school system, it banned cultural practices, it forced generations of Indigenous people into a cycle of dependency, one designed by the very government that took their land. And despite decades of promises to repeal or reform it, the Indian Act is still in place today. It remains a law that dictates the rights and identities of Indigenous people. Not by their choice, but by federal decree. The British North America Act gave Ottawa control over the provinces. The Indian Act gave it control over Indigenous nations. Together, they built a system where real autonomy was impossible and federal overreach became the norm. For over a century, both acts have worked in tandem to ensure that power stays centralized. When provinces challenge Ottawa's authority, they lose. When Indigenous nations assert their sovereignty, they're blocked by laws written to keep them dependent. The courts, the federal funding system, and the legislative framework all reinforce the same outcome. Provinces and Indigenous nations can ask for more control, but Ottawa decides how much they get. This isn't a federation. It's a hierarchy, and it's a system designed to ensure that those at the top never lose their grip on power. We're told that Canada is a country built on democracy, fairness, and self-determination. But the truth is, the system that was designed in 1867 and reinforced through the Indian Act was never meant to be fair. It was meant to consolidate power in Ottawa and keep control over the provinces and Indigenous nations. The BNA Act laid the groundwork. The Indian Act ensured cultural and legal dependency. Every attempt to break free, whether through constitutional challenges, resource control, or land claims, has been met with resistance from a government that refuses to loosen its grip. The reality is that Canada is built on agreements that were never truly agreed upon. The provinces didn't sign onto a fair partnership. They signed onto a system that kept them economically tied to Ottawa. Indigenous nations never had a say in how they were governed. They had a system forced upon them that still exists today. The consequences of these laws are still being felt today. Federal control over resources, wealth redistribution that benefits the center, and policies that continue to strip power from local governments. If the system was never built for true autonomy, how can we ever expect it to change? Next time on The Problems with Canada. Canada's problems go deeper than Confederation. The system we inherited wasn't designed for a nation of provinces. It was built for a colonial empire. Next time we expose how the Westminster system itself keeps Canada from ever truly being free.